Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Robert Gatewood, how you doing tonight, brother?
Brother Leon, I'm doing wonderful on this Brother For Real Wednesday. Man, it's like Christmas on Wednesday to me.
Amen to that.
Every week.
How about that? You sound like you're in a hole for Christmas, man. Robert?
Am I not clear?
Not too good tonight.
My earbud over there charging up, it died on me. So I'm trying to make do. Trying to talk the old fashioned way.
I hear you, man. Well, look, man, how things going over there? I have a good group of brothers on us tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Got another brother for real pulling in here, Mr. Curtis Gatewood. How you doing tonight, Curtis? I know you're somewhere working or something, man. How you doing?
Yeah, Leon, how you doing, brother? Yeah, yesterday we did in Graham, North Carolina, we did a little stand for Jalen Walker up in Akron, Ohio. We were rained out, but you know, a couple of us stood strong against this unbelievable racist, uncivilized form of policing. And the 90 shots that, of course, went toward Jaylen Brown, and a 60 shot that hit him, and he still ended up in handcuffs somehow, somewhere. It's just a savage form of law enforcement that we're having to deal with right now. In fact, it's a war on black people, and it's interesting. They talk about the war. They want black folks to always respond peacefully. They always find family members to come out and say, "We want peace." But no one seems to be willing to be peacefully in stopping the war on black people where we're being killed across the country. So if people want peace, we need to start right here on our own soil with the government, police department, as well as in our own community. But that being said, yeah, I'm also at another job now, Leon. I probably won't be able to be on long, but I just wanted to holler in and welcome the Brothers For Real. Brothers For Life will be coming in later on, from what I understand. People that I had the opportunity to work with myself down there in Wadesboro, and through some of the good work that you're doing, Leon, and to my brother Robert and Joseph and all the other brothers, W. Had the opportunity to talk to my brother Joseph today, who's recovering. All is well. God is good. Our family here is doing great. So thanks for what you all are doing.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Like Jesus.
Thank you, Rhea.
Yes, sir.
We want to say to all the families out there that are going through these types of tragedies, these senseless killings, these just crazy, just evil stuff going on. I mean, you know, and we out here, you know, it's frustrating because you out here trying to do the, you know, fight the good fight, do the good work in peace. And then, as always, you have to remember there's always the evil ones in play. But you can't think about them all the time. You just have to keep doing the work that we just have to keep doing the work that we do. When I say we, I'm talking about people like us, people like the Brothers For Life nonprofit, those guys like that who are constantly working to show a better face, put a better face on life, you know. Because you get caught up in what all this stuff that's going on, you really look at life as you think life has only an ugly face. But there's some beautiful things still going on in the world, and people like these guys we have on tonight are making sure those things continue to happen. So,
Leon.
Yes, sir.
We have to be mindful that there are constant distractions to throw people off their game. What Curtis is doing, what you're doing, what I'm doing, Joseph's doing, the Brothers For Life are doing. We just have to keep doing what we do, because haters are going to hate. Evil folks are going to do evil. Bad people are going to do bad. But we just have to stay focused, keep our eyes on the ball, and just keep doing what we do. Because I'm telling you, these forces that we are fighting, they're formidable. they take on a new countenance every now and then, but it's the same old thing. They just rewarm it and run it again, reheat it, serve again. So we can't get distracted, but we do have to be vigilant because they keep changing the game. They keep changing the face. They keep changing the issue to throw everybody off, but we're not food. That's why we're the brothers for real.
That's why we have to continue. The bad folks are going to do what they're going to do. They have a job to do just like we have a job to do. So you have to do your job. Those bad guys are going to do their job. You can count on that. So we have to do our jobs. You got to do your job. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brother For Real radio show. Tonight we're being joined by the Brothers For Life nonprofit. The number to call, the guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. We'd love to hear your voice tonight and call in, ask some questions or make some suggestions or make some comments on some of the things that we'll be talking about. If you do call in and you want to make a comment, once you get through, hit the one key on your dial pad, and that'll let us know you want to share some information with us, okay? Like I say, this is the Brother For Real radio show, 215-383-3872. Minister Gatewood.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just want to just holler at you right quick. I know you got a lot going on. What you got going on, man, in case you have to roll out on us? What do you have going on in the next few weeks or whatever? What's going on in your life?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that opportunity. I really want to reiterate what went on with Jalen Walker, because, you know, the facts are constantly coming out, because one time they were saying that he had a gun and that was shooting at the police at the time he was being shot, and how the facts are changing as we deal with this, because, you know, we get more information in. So I just want to try to give a little bit of the latest that we have, you know, as it pertains to that. Number one, he was not armed at the time he was shot. So people need to understand that. There was this thing where they said it looked like a fire, something could have been fired. They saw fire go off out of his car when they looked at the video at a certain point during the chase. But everyone needs to be clear. When his body was found, there was no arm or gun found on his body. He was actually running at the time he was being shot. He was running, found a gun in his car, which could have may or may not have been planted there. But the fact of the matter is, at the time he was shot, he was running, and there was not a gun on him. So he was shot while being unarmed, and he was shot over 60 times. And, of course, they fired at him over 90 times. This were 8 police officers. Everyone needs to know the magnitude of this crime, because, you know, we thought maybe the George Floyd thing was the worst thing. But actually, this could be worse than George Floyd when you have a 25-year-old. You need help? You okay? Okay. Yeah, so the thing about it is you can have, you know, it's a bad thing. It's bad enough to have somebody with their knee on your neck for 15 minutes while you're in handcuffs. But imagine this, you have a 25-year-old child out there running from police, running for his life. They do not relent. They shoot at him 90 times and hit him 60 times, and then somehow he ends up being handcuffed. I wonder whether they find the place to handcuff him. I mean, if you shoot somebody 60 times, you have to handcuff him too? So by the time his body got to the corpse, by the time his corpse was actually received, of course, it was already ruled a homicide by the executive examiner. But by the time his body was there, he actually had handcuffs on. So I wonder, when did they handcuff him? I mean, you shoot somebody 60 times, do you really need to handcuff him too? There's just so many terrible things about this shooting that I want people to know about, just so that they'll know whether they're going to do something about it or not. But you need to know what's going on. So that's the main thing that we've been focusing on over the last few days. I've given a couple of talks on it. And we probably need to continue doing so to connect it with local things that are going on, because our thing is we have to be more proactive. Just like in Graham, North Carolina, we're already department because the police department knowingly hired a police officer who has at least two offenses of using excessive force, and he was terminated from the Greensboro Police Department for the reason of using excessive force, yet he was hired in Graham. We feel like if we can make bigger issues of these types of issues or bigger, get bigger participation, more ears regarding these types of issues, we can actually be proactive, because it is these types of officers who have a habitual form of using excessive force are the ones who are doing this stuff. And if we can make sure that they're not being hired and make sure that they have things like the SKU standard for law, universal standard for law enforcement, where we actually have reasons why certain things shouldn't happen, and we have a list of ways in which police standards should be universal across the country. Because in some areas like Graham, North Carolina, they can hire anybody. Then you might go somewhere like Greensboro, where they might be more careful at hiring. We want universal standards across the country. Some police departments might allow no-knock searches. Then there are others that will allow no-knock searches. Of course, no-knock searches became more visible when Breonna Taylor was killed by a no-knock search. Somebody come in and tear down your door and shoot up people in the house because they think they have a warrant and they don't have to knock on the door. They just tear down your door. Those are no-knock searches. Of course, that's a military tactic, and it doesn't belong with citizens who have rights. We have a constitution. We have due process. All those things are being violated. And so we have standards that we have laid out. One day we're going to have to go over those standards, Leon, on the show, and just take time to go over them one by one. Because everything that we have put into our standards, if they were in fact standards universally across the nation, it would save so many lives. We wouldn't keep having these conversations.
Right.
That's what I just wanted to mention. That's what I wanted to mention.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, what we're going to do.
Proaction, Leon. We need proaction, Robert.
Proaction.
We shouldn't keep having to have these conversations. We shouldn't keep having to have these same marches over and over again. There are standards that we could put in place that could be universally applied that could put this mess to an end.
Yeah. Because I have one more question. One question.
Yes, sir.
What was going on with that, bro? What's his name again? I'm sorry. I got to ask you.
Jalen Walker.
Jalen Walker.
Okay.
I noticed that Mr. Walker had a ski mask on. Did they ever discuss that? I mean, I know there's no reason to shoot somebody that many times. I'm just asking, what was up with that mask? Did anybody?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard a discussion about that. But, you know, that's just a question that might be on some people's mind. It actually never crossed my mind.
I know.
As to why he had a ski mask. But, yeah. But,
it's not a good question.
But the reason he was supposedly stopped was, I guess it was a traffic stop. It was a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. And he did not stop. He ran. And, of course, that called the police chase. But we know of many instances where even during a police chase, the police have a way of stopping vehicles that are chasing without having to do all that shooting. I mean, even if they were shooting while he was running with his car, police now have ways to stop a car. That's, you know, even if they had to blow out the tires or there'd be some backup call to set up some other stop. But people don't have to run behind cars and shoot behind cars. So we know that's not going to get it either. But like I said, anyway, that's the moot point anyway, because he ended up getting out of the car and running. So I don't know, you know, what the story on the mask or anything like that. But,
you know,
there's nothing that can explain 90 shots. And a couple of days later, you know, they have all these arrests where these white militia, these guys are walking around domestic terrorists. And, you know, the most familiar one, of course, is the one, Daylon Roof, right there in Charleston, South Carolina, who went into the church and just brutally murdered people, that even a girl we knew from Livingstone College that was caught up into that, where he went in the church and just murdered black folk, just murdered them. And they were, when they found him, there were no shootouts. There were no running behind him. He told them he was hungry, and they took him to Burger King. And, you know, we're having these different responses on how white dangerous men, armed and dangerous, shooting, killing. You just had a shooting, you know, these 19 children that were just murdered in the school. The police officer standing outside, letting the guy just do everything he wanted to do. So there's just such a double standard right now until it's going to really, really cause some big, big problems. But the Stop Killing Us Solutions Campaign, Justice Administration, Holler, Brothers for Life, Robert Gatewood, who continuously keeps great platforms for people to discuss these types of issues. Guys, we are more needed now than ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the brother for it. Get his Minister Gatewood, thank you, brother, for your time, man. We appreciate you throwing that out us because we really need to know. Thank you for keeping abreast of these issues like this. Thank you so very much, man. We're going to take a quick break.
God
and when we come
you,
back, when we come back, we're going to discuss how do black men feel about each other. We're going to discuss what about black collaboration. Is it a myth that we can't work together? Are they serious when they say that? Are they serious when they say black people can't work together? I think it's a bunch of crap myself. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Brother Greer Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Got everything together here, Robert. Got my hands together. Got the brothers together. We're getting ready to have a conversation, man. All right.
All right. Got the brothers. Got a lot of brothers. Got a lot of brothers on the line.
Yeah, Chris, Mr. Gray was talking about being proactive. Here we go. Got proactivity in force right here. Got a lot going on. I met the Brothers for Life. Met Brother Peter McNeil at a short film festival or something like that. He'll straighten it up. I don't always get my stories.
It was the National Black Theater Festival.
See what I mean?
That's right. Tell him, man.
The National Black Theater Festival. That's where I met Brother Peter McNeil. He's a very talented brother, and now he's a very philanthropic. I hope I said that right. very philanthropic brother. He's trying to do things to uplift our young people, man. He started uplifting the young people. Yes, sir.
Are these the brothers that were down at the 5K?
Yeah, man. Peter wasn't there. Peter was.
I'm telling you, man.
Other brothers were there.
Hey, look, all I know, we went on the street to get these grapes, right?
Yeah.
Grapes up to our eyebrows. And I noticed these strong-looking brothers standing there kind of checking me out. And they say, can we help you? And I'm like, you know how you're instinctive. But I said, no, that's all right, got it. Man, I was in that truck and saw all those grapes. I said, brother, we need some life, brother. The brothers, I know they saved at least one life. I don't know who else they saved, but they saved this life right here.
Who else is on here from Brothers for Life? It's called
we have
I
Brother
Kenny
on here, Roger
yeah.
Haley on here.
I'm here.
We have a team on here, man. We got okay. Brothers. Yes, sir.
All right, awesome.
So here's what we're going to do, Peter. We're going to ask you right quick, you brothers right quick, to kind of let everybody know how you guys got started, what you're doing, why you got started. Then we'll start talking about some other good stuff. It's on you, Peter.
All right. Okay. Hey, everybody. Thank y'all for having us on Brothers Forever.
Hey,
we appreciate
Peter.
It. We appreciate it, and we're honored to be on here. Brothers for Life, we got together. We formed the organization in 2020, around August. We felt it was a need to get together to be a service of the community through the youth and whoever else. And we got certified last year as a 501c3 nonprofit, and we've just been really getting our feet wet, largely in Anson County, Waynesboro, Lisbon, Marvin, just helping out, having fundraisers, and just really gearing towards the youth. You know, just give them a plethora of options other than what they see out there, what they limited to seeing. So pretty much that's why, we got together. If one of the other brothers could add to that, go ahead.
Yeah, we had Brother Hakeem call in real early here. Let's get Bro Hakeem. You want to add to that, Brother Hakeem?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for allowing us to come on to the platform. You know, we appreciate it. We've seen a need, it's like a lot of kids that didn't have any role models or father figures in their life. And, we wanted to, help out with that any way that we could. So, that's what we formed the group, just to try to give back and, be a clutch for the community.
There you go.
All right.
Robert, I'll say this about these brothers. You call them, they will come. You call them, they will come. I just tell you that, man. We go out. They've been in and out of Anson County. First time I saw them as a group was on Facebook, and they were in Anson County. And I said, who are these brothers on my church?
Hey, man. What's that?
But anyway.
What's that? What's that quote in the Bible? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
That's
there
right.
You go, man.
Yes.
Got some more laborers.
In the Bible, it also says that if it's not against you, they're for you. So these brothers are obviously doing some of the things we were wanting to do, because there's a lot of work to do. And it just made my heart very happy to see these guys out there. And we reached out to them and started begging them to come and join us in some of the things we were doing, like going out to the middle school, stuff like that. And they just came in, rolled their sleeves up, their pants legs up and everything up, and just came out and started working with us. And brothers, I do appreciate that.
No problem. No problem at all.
Yes,
we really appreciate you.
Hey, where you all get that name from? That name is that's a man. I'm tell you, By the way, I have a marketing and branding company, and I just look at things and I see the branding and big picture potential. Love the name, if I must say so myself. It has that double entendre, brother for life meaning forever, brother for life meaning living. That's pretty cool. I like the name.
Yeah.
So I don't know who came up with that. Give them they get a round of applause out of me. Brothers for life.
Hey, wasn't it Jay Hakeem? Wasn't it Drew?
Yeah, it was Drew, Brother Drew. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where's Drew at?
Brother Drew.
Drew Ben.
I have a question.
Oh yeah.
I have a question to the brothers. This is Minister Curtis Gatewood, by the way. I also had the honor of working with you guys during the time we were at Anson Middle School. So it was great meeting you guys. I also get the opportunity to see you again when we were at Hall of K, what is it, K5 or whatever it is.
5K, man.
5K, yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, so just so you know that I kind of had the opportunity to meet you. I was wondering how did you guys have any interaction with churches, and if you have, or is there anybody, a part of your group that are ministers, and is there are you having problems? I hear a lot of times people saying there's problems working with churches when people are trying to do great things. And I was just wondering what were your experiences that pertain to the church community?
Is Roger on?
Who want to pick that up?
You know what? I'll take that. Is Roger here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
man.
Hear
you. Okay, I was coming through. I'm coming through a bad storm, man.
Oh,
and,
man.
Be safe out there. Be safe.
I'm trying to be. Well, speaking of churches, yeah, it's one guy that I've been friends with probably for about 15 years. He's a minister.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Everett of First Baptist Church in Waverly.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to get together with him for a food drive. I've been in contact with him quite often, talking about what we stand for, and he's loving it. So, yeah, we got a few ministers. We got Minister McNair from, I forgot the church in Burnsville that she's a minister of, and we're supposed to get with her for one of her programs. So, yes, you know, churches, we didn't have problems with them. I don't see us having a problem with dealing with churches or ministers.
Because
we all out here to help. We're all out here to get these kids back on track, even down to get young adults and adults, you know? So
right.
It's powerful. It's the group I'm with now, these are powerful guys. These are probably some of the best guys I've met, even down to, you know, meeting Leon. You know, we're from the same area, but I've never met you. But talking to you, man, everything is just powerful. It's just so positive, no negative. Even down to, you know, I've talked to a lot of ministers up here, too. Everybody's with them. They see the need for the help for the youth. So, yeah, I see us working with a lot of ministries down the road.
Amen. Amen. That's great. That's good.
Well, I'll say this also, Curtis. I'll say this also. Normally.
What is that background noise?
Oh, that was. That's cute, whatever it is.
I thought it was your truck, Roger.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we lost Brother Roger. Maybe he'll call back in.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Here he is, he's back.
Well, him, man.
Well, he raised
Rob,
his hand.
You able to pick that up?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. Okay, I see Roger up top there. Okay.
Yeah. So,
but Leon, you had a question for me?
No. What I was going to say is, whenever we approach churches to do events and things of that nature, we don't have a problem with churches participating. It's kind of like a turf war, though. You know, it's like you have to stay in your lane when you're dealing with churches. But here's how I think we should try to approach that, because one of the subjects tonight is Black collaboration, how we can collaborate with each other to make this thing work. We just have to find out who can do what and who will do what. You see?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we have to find out who will and who and what each person would do. You know, I don't mind getting my feet dirty. I don't mind. I don't mind. I just think sometimes we could all, if we worked harder together and had a large and make a larger force out of this, it could really work. Because churches do have a lot of resources. They have facilities, most of them. They have a lot of connections with other churches and
associations
and things of that nature. Where we could possibly
You know what, Leon? I think part of the challenge sometimes when you're collaborating is that when we approach a group, we're too broad in our request. Instead of saying, look, hey, church, I need some help. You come to that church and specifically say, I need a venue, and let them know that's what we need. We don't need the amen choir. We don't need the collection committee. We need a venue. And kind of, I hate to say you have to be kind of stern about that, but sometimes that's what things, you have these overlapping, because people tend to want to do what they are comfortable with doing, not necessarily what you need.
Right.
And so that's where a good, strong project manager like yourself comes in and says, look, I need a venue, period. That's it. That's all I need from you. We'll come back on other issues, another project, we may have a different need, but today we need a place to meet. So that's been my challenge sometimes, working with, trying to collaborate with people. We're too broad in our approach on what we're asking for.
Right. And let me just do this, Leon. I just want to say in general to all church members who might be listening, you might want to consider inviting Brothers for Life and other groups in to give a few minutes to your congregants, or whether you're having a special event, whether you're having Men's Day or whatever you might be having, where it would be appropriate to bring men who are actually trying to do things that the Bible asks that we do, of course, as good shepherds, to try to protect the sheep in our communities and not allow them to be scattered by the wolves. So hopefully churches can see this as an opportunity.
Amen.
Sometimes maybe churches can consider maybe having a little budget to put in as far as community outreach, things that the church doesn't necessarily have to do. They can sign it out to someone or an organization or a group, you know, who are already prepared with an infrastructure to do some of the ministry that they have in mind. I just wanted to give churches, or at least some ministries, that idea.
Yeah.
Can I add something? Can I add something to this topic? The reason we got connected with Leon, the reason we got connected with Pastor Donald McNair and Pastor Everett, is because we stayed, Brothers for Life, we stayed true to our mission statement. And it was just concentrating, you know, on focusing on the kids, the youth. And we've been out there, like you said, like somebody said earlier, you're rolling our sleeves up, and we're going out there to do the work. People are seeing what we're doing, and we're going to continue because we have, you know, we're in alignment with what we're doing. Now, when we partner with somebody, you know, we want to make sure, we don't have no problem with that. You know, we've been, oh, my God, people have been approaching us left and right. And as long as they're in alignment with what we got going on, it'll be a great, you know, union. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to deviate from what we're doing, you know, because like somebody said, the church, that's great. Yeah, the church. But like you said, you don't need all the other stuff. We just going to do what the reason why you reached out to us in the first place. You know what I'm saying? It's just to continue putting that work in, to give kids other options, to be role models, to follow these kids, youth out there, and just continue building, you know, and connecting and collaborating as we continue on this journey.
Amen.
That said, Peter, what is the mission?
Oh, Lord. So I got to pull that. Hey, Carl, you got that mission statement ready?
I don't have it on me.
So pretty much it's really cultivating and really getting with the youth through all of our individual talents, whether it's mechanics, real estate, entertainment, sports, which is the umbrella of Brothers for Life. And that's how we, you know, open the doors to, so they can see all these options that we have within the group.
That's
I like that. 'Cause you, I like the fact you have a what we call a threshold that allows people to get in. And the other thing, too, somebody, I think Brother Haley was speaking earlier, that when you have that mission and you have that purpose, you have that vision, you align with organizations that can further and support that mission. And and like you say, you have to be, once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you do have to be very specific that sometimes you can align with organizations or people, and they have a different agenda. And, and they try to steal their agenda into your mission and kind of muddy the water. And so so even when you have, even if you have people sometimes that are not on the exact same page, we want to carve out the part that you have that aligns with our mission, and let's go forward with full force. And that's really, that's been my partnership and collaboration has been the key to my success. And I, anytime somebody bring that topic up, I can't talk enough about it because I know it's, you can't go far by yourself. You need those collaborations and no partnerships, those partnerships.
And we're so grateful for partners. We're so grateful for partners with Leon Gatewood, man. You know, we just honored. We're just honored.
Well, I tell you what.
Let me ask you, I have a question, guys. We're in this, we've been in this pandemic now for a couple of years. Have you seen any challenges that are unique to this pandemic that made your job either harder or more purposeful? How has the pandemic and this lockdown and the COVID-19 affected your organization and your mission?
Well, actually, it didn't affect me. It's broadened our horizon with our minds.
Hey, Robert, can I answer that question?
Go ahead.
Reason I'm gonna answer that question for them because he said they got started in August 2020. That was the heat of COVID.
Right.
So,
in the middle of it. Wow.
I hope
we started doing it.
I
don't
understand.
That's like without started. COVID, then do you?
So it looks like COVID started. I hope y'all had y'all masks on.
we sitting in Roger's kitchen every weekend, you know, throughout the pandemic when it was strong, you know, so we survived through it. You know, we that's how we got started through it, you know, and we had a lot of challenges. We had people to cancel play because we can't come to the schools and things like that because of the COVID, you know, so it was just working through them, you know, never stopping. We're like, well, we can't go inside. We're going to go outside, you know. So we did different things, to, you know, to keep the mission going. You know, there was no stopping us. We started through a rough end, and we want to continue through that rough end until it gets, you know, softer.
Amen.
Well, that's interesting. You guys started doing the COVID, doing the pandemic. Did the pandemic have anything to do with your starting?
It would take like 6 months for our 501c, you know, and it actually came back a lot quicker, you know. So
it was
some challenges, but we worked through them, you know. It was six of us. We was just a strong number, you know. So we worked through it.
That's the way to do it. That's the way it's done.
Yeah, and
thing is our beliefs. I mean. Yeah,
we knew the pandemic was out there. We knew it was bad. But our beliefs, you know, we trust in God, trust in ourselves, man.
Yes.
And that's what it takes. You know, a lot of people, and I'm not when I say this, I'm not meaning nothing, no harm by it. So a lot of people panic. That's pandemic, panic. You panic. They want you to be in a frenzy.
Right.
We were never in a frenzy.
Right.
We stuck together, all six of us. We met every Sunday in my kitchen. You know, my wife and stuff was here. Yeah, we had masks sometimes, but we were there. We were there, and we stuck through everything. So right now we're standing tall.
And if somebody did have COVID, they stayed home, and we had Zoom.
Yes.
We had a Zoom session.
Yep.
Let me ask you guys. I have a question. This has been just stomping me. But what in the heck are we gonna do about these kids shooting up everything? How do we put our hands? How do we wrap our heads around that? That's just driving me up the wall. I'm just telling you.
Can I add to that?
Please.
I'm going to add to this. This is Brother Ganey. I want to add to that. One thing I tell people all the time, I said, when you're in a system that is built on violence, this is the outcome of it. So it's time for us to take the lead and show more positivity, because I know growing up, I always seen a lot of positive shows, seen a lot of positive acts going on, seeing the church more involved in the community, seeing hearing good music, positive music, but today everything is pouring negativity into everything. And this is the outcome of what the society is doing.
That's so powerful. And that's one of the things that Leon and Curtis have both been, I noticed Leon and Curtis have always pointed out that the music and the message, and of course we can't overlook the system favors negativity and highlights negativity and just really almost runs it through the veins of the community in a funnel.
Yeah.
And so we have to, that's why we see forces like the Brothers for Life and the Brothers for Real coming together. I think we are aligned on this mission that we have to have more control over what comes into our community and how it affects our young people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's definitely true right there.
Yep.
That is true.
You're right. Killing each other just because they woke up that morning. It's been fed. They've been spoon-fed violence from the time they were born.
Yeah.
Music and their
literature
and what they see on TV, on social media. So.
Yep.
Well,
I'm going to add to that as well. You know how it speaks about we are born into sin? But the thing about it is a child don't know sin until it's taught sin.
That's right. That is so true.
You know?
That is so true.
Absolutely.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break right quick. You listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We love talking to ourselves. We love to hear from you every now and then. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back to talk to the brothers about what they have coming up this weekend and beyond. Right? And that's exactly how anger works and operates. You gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all. People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
Chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. The war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret and swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. I'm going to call it 215-383-3872. We are very fortunate and excited to have tonight with the Brothers for Life nonprofit. And we're going to jump right into these guys right now and tell us what they have coming up this weekend and beyond, okay? Peter, talk to me.
Yes, we have our second annual Brothers for Life softball tournament fundraising, and we are so excited about that. Yes, it's going to be held in Marshville, 820 Park Drive, Marshville, North Carolina. And, you know, we're going to have the softball for the teams. We got the teams ready to come out there and play. And we also have a lot of activities for the youth, whether it's kickball, tug-of-war, sack racing, face painting. We have a DJ. Oh, we're going to have everything. And we're going to have one of our brothers go to showcase the very first Charlotte line dance. So he's going to teach people the new Charlotte line dance. So We just invite and encourage everybody to come out here and have a great time. And of course, we're going to have Leon Gatewood and his great, you know, organization, Holler Center, being a part of this.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be really fun. It's going to be engagement. So we encourage everybody to come out this Saturday from 10 to 5, y'all.
10 to 5.
10 to 5, yes.
Did somebody say Charlotte Lion Dance? What's up?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. created by one of our brothers named Tracy Williams, Big Trey. And he created the dance, created the music, and he'll be out there just showing everybody the Charlotte Lion Dance. It's a line dance, so it's cool. It's really cool.
You know how to do it, Peter? Hey, Peter, you know how to do it, man?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we went over to Trey's place of work probably like three weeks ago, right, Roger? And he introduced something like that. Yeah, and he introduced the dance to us. Now, I'm a dancer, so I caught on quick. You know, and then we just been rocking it, yeah.
And what's the guy's name?
Wobbling on the job over there, huh?
Actually, it was his own business, so it was on a Saturday, and he invited everybody to show them the new line dance, and it's really cool. It's gonna be fun. So everybody's gonna be learning the line dance.
What's his name, Peter? A testimony right there for starting your own business. You can wobble at work. Come on, man. I've been trying to get you guys to start a business all this time.
People don't understand.
Tracy Williams.
You can do anything when it's your own business. You can create any job you want.
Yes.
Hey, Peter, what's the guy's name again?
His name is Tracy Williams, right, Raj?
Yeah, Tracy Williams.
Tracy Williams. Yes.
Okay. All right, I may have to come down, man, just to get that Charlotte Wobble. I mean, the Charlotte Lion Dance. Where did this
just come to the our event this Saturday, and you know you're gonna be dancing amongst everybody, just learning the Charlotte dance.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Oh man.
Now we
real great fundraising. Yes.
Charlotte, what's Leon?
I thought Curtis, yep. With DJs, we had to get that in Atlanta.
There you go.
I hear you. I hear you.
The Charlotte Lion Dance. Man, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leon, what's going on? Don't you have them going on holiday this weekend too, Leon, or the next week?
Nah, man. We've been with the Brothers for Life this weekend.
Okay. All right. So is Holler gonna be there? Y'all gonna be represented?
Yes, sir. We shut it down, brother. We gonna shut it down. We go up there with the brothers and give out some information. You know, we're gonna share some information and all kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, fellas. Just so you know, the only reason I can't be there is because that is the weekend. Some of my wife's relatives, the Deutsch family reunion, they're having a 2-day family reunion. They do it for 2 days. Saturday.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
They wanted the best DJ in the nation there, so I have to be there spinning the wheel.
there you go.
That's what's up.
That's it.
Yep, indeed.
I had to be there.
Yeah.
I've been learning from Leon. Leon started out learning from me. Recently, I've been learning from him. So, the table continue to turn.
You're not a little biased there.
That's awesome.
You're not a little biased there, are you?
Yeah, a little biased.
Bias in that, yeah.
A little biased there. But look, this is Brothers for Life, so we can do that.
Hey, Robert, it's a little biased, but since he gave me some props, I won't mute his mic.
There you go. All right. So are you DJing the Brothers for Life thing?
Oh no, man. We weren't gonna bring that up. Now you going and bringing that up?
It's our friend.
He's already cool.
Yeah. Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all brothers something. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what's happening to me a lot the older I get, right? People like, well, Mr. Leon, we were going to get you the DJ, but we just kind of want you to come and enjoy it.
There you go.
You wanna piss me off, say that. I enjoy DJing, okay? I want everybody.
Boy, y'all funny. Y'all some funny boys.
I enjoy DJing.
Hey, y'all.
I just wanted you to come and enjoy.
Okay, all right.
Man, but I gotta throw this in there as a business owner. There is something about doing things that you enjoy and getting paid for. I call that self-actualization. And so anybody who's run a business, and sometimes we go through life, we got to do these things to get us paid. We got to pay the rent and get the roof over our head, buy our houses and cars and so forth. Sometimes we come out of school, we've been programmed to go get a new job and working for dang near slave labor. Even though it sounds like a good salary compared to most people, but compared to what these companies are making on the labor, it's really almost just high price labor. But when you get that brass ring and you start your own company and you're doing something you love, I'm kind of amen what you're saying there, Leon. There is nothing like it. It doesn't
Lord,
feel like
I
work.
Tell
people
you.
Saying, look, they're like, Robert, you work all the time. When do you have fun? I'm like, I'm having fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, man.
That's the beauty of doing something.
Robert, that should be everyone's goal. I really think even if you're making, if you're just making enough to survive, if you're doing what you like to do, that is success. That's success.
Yes.
That's
it.
You can have a big job, make paying you a lot of money, but if it's not doing something you want to do, you're under a lot of stress, you're under a lot of pressure, you have not yet moved to the level of success. Until you find out that you can do what you love to do and get paid for it.
That's true. Hey, Robert.
Including doing the Charlotte Lion Dance on your job. So the Brothers for Life got my attention when they said that. I can't even say that. You can do the wobble and the electric slide and the Charlotte Lion Dance on your job. That is freedom. That is freedom.
Hey, Robert. Robert.
Yes.
Yeah. Robert. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that Mr. Peter McNeil is a movie producer. Is that correct, Mr. McNeil?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So please tell us a little something about that first. We know he's
free then.
Yeah, he's free. All right. Ain't no chance holding.
We filmed my first feature film titled Urge last year in April. With the help of all my brothers, that's on the line now, and everybody else, it's about a husband in denial of a porn addiction, and it's coming in, it's really becoming it's just really damaging the family structure, and he got to make a choice whether to continue going down that road or lose his family, ultimately himself. So I'm happy happy to announce we got distribution for it. And probably in less than a month, we're going to get that film on streaming platforms. So, we're excited, and we just can't wait to get the date and streaming platform so we can let everybody know, check it out. So, and I thank God, I thank family, I thank my Brothers for Life family, I thank everybody who, participated in it, because it took a community to get this thing done. In spite being in the pandemic, but God covered, God was our coverage throughout the entire filming process. So,
man,
thank you,
I
love
it.
I love it.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
You would think of a brother producing a movie would have to call everybody he even ran across in the street for help. They still didn't call me, man.
The next production.
I'm good, man. But I'm just proud of you. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just proud. It's amazing.
Thank you.
You were next on the list, Leon. See, you didn't know that he was gonna call you after the show and get your money.
Yeah.
Never too late.
I'm as proud of the brother. That's why I wanted to make sure we mentioned that. And also mention that we got a, I don't know, look, Robert, I don't know the resumes of all these brothers. I know all of them powerful. I just know that as a group, they're powerful. But I do know that we have a Haley. This Haley guy played pro baseball, man.
What?
And, yeah, Haley, you still on there, man?
Yes, I'm still here.
Didn't you play, yeah, man, he played, yeah.
Play with Atlanta, the Atlanta Braves organization.
Atlanta Braves. Yeah, I struck him out.
As a pitcher.
Oh, he's struck me out.
Oh, wow. That was one of the, back in the heydays. It was, that helped me grow. That grew me to where I am today. And
right.
That started me, like, I played for 7 years. I tore my rotator cuff. So I'm going to be honest with you. I was on my way. I don't have no shame or nothing. I was on my way.
Hmm.
So,
man,
what it
congratulations.
Is. And but I want to give back to the kids. I want to have, like, you know, the opportunities that I really, truly didn't have. Even though I played, now that I look back of how it went, I want to change that narrative for other young, you know, other young ball players, because it really ain't just about baseball, it's just giving them options. But if you got that talent to get you where you need to be, and that's either college or high, whatever you want to do in life, you have to have an option, because it helps you discipline yourself too, to be honest with you. So with these guys, like I said, I used to say we got a bunch of ordinary guys. Let me change that. We got a bunch of extraordinary guys that's really putting it out there. And without these guys, man, you know, it's like the best group of guys I've ever met. It's been a long time. I know a lot of people, but these seven guys that I have with me, man, it's unbelievable. Seriously. So even though I played a long time, it's been many, many, many years ago to me. But right now, finally giving back, and I can say my mom was the main one that kept me pushing me, saying, look, what are you going to do? You got all this talent, you got all the knowledge, but you're not using it. So what are you going to do? There's some kids that need you down here. So I started doing training and coaching. So I've been loving it. And like you said, that freedom you have, and that's why I want to get to, that being that free guy, free, just loving doing what I'm doing. And I love what I'm doing now with Brothers for Life. But coming soon, it's going to be even better for all of us. So I'm just blessed to, you know, blessed to be around these guys, blessed to be around you, Leon, and your brother, meeting all y'all down in 5K. It's just, it's wonderful. That's all I can say. It's wonderful.
So I'm going to go to my question, guys, before we leave tonight. I'm going to go to my question tonight. I'm going to answer mine. I'm going to answer it so everybody that knows what I'm trying to say. How do black men feel about black men? Now,
hey, bro.
Here's my answer. I have come to really appreciate black men because I hang around black men, like-minded black men. That makes sense?
Yes.
I try to reach out to kids who have been neglected by parents or for whatever reason. I can't get into all that. But for whatever reason, I run into a lot of young people who have been neglected by somebody who should have made things better for them. And sometimes you see where it could have been an easy fix, and sometimes it's not. So I'm going to say I have a very high respect for black men. And because of these guys, like, men like these guys here on this call, including my brothers, I have a very high respect. So I try to, from that respect, I try to build other young black people. I try to use that respect and energy I get from being around brothers like you guys on this call to build other strong children. Because Frederick Douglass said it best, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Once men get broken, True. However they get broken, it's a bad deal. It's hard fixing them. So it's our best chance, as hard as that is, our best chance is to build strong children. Our best chance is to do what Brother Haley just said. Start reaching back and finding a way to build strong children. That's our best chance. If we're not going to take advantage of our best chance, we're a lost cause. But our best chance, and it is difficult, is to build strong children, find ways to reach out and pull these kids under our different umbrellas and do something with them, try to help build them up. We had about 10 here this morning trying to get ready for this next production of The Lion King Jr. Brilliant kids. I mean, just brilliant. I mean, you give them a script, they interpret it. It's just amazing how they just read that script and interpret it. So anyway, I have the utmost respect for black men. Thank you, brothers, for giving me that. I want to thank you for giving me that feeling and confirmation that black men are powerful and they don't mind using their power. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, and likewise.
Yes.
Thank you.
Man.
Well.
Oh, how great. Oh, how great it is when brothers dwell in unity. How great and pleasant it is. That's what the scripture says. How great and pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity. And that is what I see right here. It's a powerful thing. And, Leon, I do want to just say my first experience with a great black man came, and I'm pretty sure you will agree, and Robert and any of his 14 children came from the fact that we had a strong great daddy and who dispelled all of the stereotypes. He dispelled them all. Do you hear me? If you're ever going to run from children, they act like we are irresponsible. We run from our children. Why wouldn't you run if you got 14? This man stood by his 14 children till death.
Wow. That's...
We couldn't grow up, and he would always check on us. I could, anytime I came to see him, didn't care what kind of money we were making, he wanted to give you a couple of dollars and $20 here. He never, ever bowed back, bowed down, turned around when it came to raising his children.
Amen.
That's
awesome.
That's
so
true.
That is so true.
True.
Hey, brother. Well, I come back, man. My time's up. We came between you, brother. When can you, brother, come back, man? We could talk to you, brothers, forever.
Hey, whenever you want us to, we'll be back.
Yeah, whenever you need us, we're here.
Yep.
I'm going
we
to see
love
you
y'all,
guys.
Man.
I'm going
love
to see
y'all
you guys
too, man.
All right.
Hey. Okay.
Brother's going to work it out. Brother's going to work it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
We're already working it out.
Yeah.
Amen.
We just got to keep moving.
Continue to support each other. Continue to be BS free. And we're going to make it.
Yeah,
we are. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, man.
God bless you, brother. We're out of here. You've been listening to the Brother for Real Radio Show. We had Brothers for Life, nonprofit tonight, and we are glad we did. Brothers, I will see you guys Saturday. We out. We'll be next week. We'll be back next week at the same time here on Blog Talk Radio Game, the Brothers for Real Radio. Good night.
All right. Thank y'all.
Good night.
Good
night. Peace. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate it.
Peace.
Appreciate you, brothers, hanging in there with us tonight, Kurt. Good show, man.
I like those brothers.
Good brothers. It's such a great contrast. I'm going to tell you what works, man. When you're in a situation where you don't have politics involved, power, you know, money issues, all that stuff. Just ain't any kind of move. So,
hey, man, let's push these brothers, man. Let's support these brothers any way we can.
All right, man. You know, I know we can do this. They're powerful. They're people. They just support us. All right, brothers. Have a good night, man. Curtis, careful out there, man.
All right, man.
Hey, man. Right, thank you, man.
Stay strong, Curtis. Thank you.